Oh, wasn't that wonderful? Yes. Yes, yes. This is truly the day that the Lord has made, and we continue to rejoice and be glad in it. So good morning, and welcome to all of you who have chosen to be with us on this bright, sunny, warm day. Think cool thoughts. And those of you who are joining us virtually, just send us the coolness. You are in the right place at the right time. And we always tell you, this is your divine appointment. And I just want to thank God always. And thank our beloved Reverend Sylvia. Wasn't that wonderful? And I know she's watching us. And we want her to know that we continue to send love, light, and healing energy to her and affirming that her natural state of being is health and wholeness always. We have to affirm that with her. And she enjoys, as she said, receiving that energy from you. So thank you, thank you. You know, I also want to recognize our wonderful musicians, and especially Rudy and Roderick for being here this month. Usually they're off with the choir, so thank you for that. And our beloved Betty Brentley, thank you, Betty, for filling in as our pianist today. And always, always, Celeste, thank you. And that was a message in that song. Both of you, Betty played You'll Never Walk Alone, and then you came with Stand By Me. I mean, you know, no mistakes in spirit, none at all. It just all came together. So thank you, thank you. So, beloved ones, I asked, who are you? And I'm not talking about your gender, your nationality, age, family situation, ethnic background, and certainly not what you do for a living, because we tend to say that when people ask us. My real question is this: what is your true nature? Do you know? Do you ever ask? I'm not asking who you believe yourself to be, but rather what you experience in those moments when you are not caught up in your wants and fears. What do you rely on to give your life meaning? Even if you never consciously grappled with these questions about your true name and nature, circumstances in life have, or they will require you to pay attention to it. Life gives us challenges in the form of small and large good fortune, as well as petty and great misfortune. In an effort to learn how to respond to the resulting joy, pain, and confusion, you are repeatedly challenged, whether you know it or not, to seek and act from your true nature. So I ask these questions because if you have been going to Unity or really any New Thought spiritual community, you have probably heard the comment, "Your name is your nature." And I've said it myself in talks and classes. So I thought, let me visit that today. Because what does it really mean? Now, how many of you know what your given name means? Do you know if the person who named you actually gave you that name because of the meaning or because it was popular or cute? And you've heard of those names, and I don't want to say any because you might have a child, grandchild, or beloved one named Apple or Tutu or something like that. And those are all wonderful. But I'm just saying, there's a whole body of knowledge and study about our names. Basically, it is said that each name carries a unique vibration and energy that influences our thoughts, actions, and our relationships. By uncovering the hidden symbolism in your name, you can unlock the secrets of your true nature and purpose. Wow. For example, certain names or sounds in your name may indicate specific strengths, challenges, or talents that you possess. But I am here to share something with you today that many of you already are aware of and others may learn. We all have the same name. Our name is I Am. Now, what does that mean? If the vibration and energy of our name is unique to us, how can we have the same name? Well, it's like this. Our I Am name goes beyond the name we are given for our human experience. I Am is our spiritual identity. And according to Charles Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, the metaphysical meaning of I Am is the real or the Christ mind of each individual. He further says, God is I Am. And humans, that's us, God's offspring, are also the I Am. Remember that image and likeness thing? So we are also the I Am. I Am dwells within us. It is the metaphysical name of the spiritual self, as distinguished from the human self. I Am is governed by spirit, the human self by personal will. Think about it. There are some of you, and you know other people, who have changed the name you were given, or shortened it, or you've come up with some nickname, or somehow your name was changed due to marriage. I Am is eternal, without beginning or ending. The true spiritual man or woman who is made in the image and after the likeness of God, that's who we are. So our I Am name or nature is divine, it's everlasting, and it's waiting to be brought into expression. The Hebrew people were very careful at not being specific in defining or naming the spiritual I Am power that we call God today. They used different words to describe different aspects of God, but they shied away from presuming to name the totality. Because I Am represents the Christ presence of God that is our true identity, like the Hebrew people, we must be careful in how we use our name, I Am. Because it activates our innate creative power and brings into expression the belief or intention we are attaching to it. And you all know this stuff. We just need to be reminded. So if we focus on self-abasing statements like, I am sick, or I am tired, we are making those statements true as we speak them. Now, don't get me wrong. We can recognize the feeling of sickness or tiredness. However, we must link it with the spiritual affirmation to move through it powerfully. So saying, I feel tired. However, I am one with the infinite energy of God is what you need to say. That's how you connect it. It is in the Hebrew scriptures when we are first introduced to our name, I Am. Again, that personal name of God. God revealed his name directly to Moses. God told Moses, go to Pharaoh and demand that the Hebrew people be allowed to leave Egypt. Moses questioned his authority to go to Pharaoh, and more importantly, he asked, how do I explain it to the Israelite people that the God of their fathers sent me? God's response is noted in Exodus 3:14 as this, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God explained to Moses that his name should be called I Am Who I Am. Or the Greek translation is ego, E-I-me, which means I exist or I be. In lay terms, God was telling Moses, you do not need an outside authority. I am your own I am. The presence, the power of God within you. Tell the Israelites that it is their own innate spiritual knowing that guides their words and their message. Now, over 1,000 years later, our elder brother and wayshower, Jesus, is the living symbol of spiritual awareness. By calling upon the understanding in the I am statements he utters in the Gospel of John, Jesus sets the example for us to follow. And I want to pause here now, so hear me. Jesus did not teach that he was the means through which we may reach God. He said this, when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. As the master teacher and wayshower, Jesus was providing the guidance. He was giving us that roadmap on how to connect directly to the Christ within us, that Spirit of God. Now, as you know, on Good Friday each year, like many other churches, we share with you the seven last words, or it's really the last phrases of Jesus. Even though he was experiencing the tragedy of the crucifixion, he was still offering spiritual guidance through these last words. Well, the seven I am statements of Jesus in the book of John also help us to understand who we are and our divine nature. So let me begin. In John 6:35, Jesus says this, I am the bread of life. What our nature is telling us here is that we must get spiritual nourishment. Just as physical bread sustains our bodies, we must develop a practice of communing with and listening to spirit. This can be done through prayer, meditation, attending classes, or worship sessions. Ask for wisdom, discernment, and guidance each time that you are in these situations. So you're not just sitting there just taking it in, but asking, what am I here to learn? Jesus' second I am statement is found in John 8:12. I am the light of the world. We each have the light of life within us. We need only be open and receptive to it. I know when I need to get clarity in a given situation or if I'm providing guidance to others, I pray, let there be light and understanding. Illumination and truth are our nature. We need only apply it by living a life of integrity, kindness, and compassion. If you do not recognize your inner light, you are thinking intellectually, not spiritually. So be a light to those around you by dispelling darkness through your actions and your words. The third I am statement is found in John 10:9. Jesus said, I am the door. Or some interpretations say, the gate. Now, the door or gate symbolizes within us access, security, and belonging. We have a direct line to God because God dwells within us. Yes, I'm repeating. because I want you to get it. So open the door or gate and enter into a relationship with God every day through faith and focusing in on ascending into the spiritual thought realm. For this is truly how we repent. We give up sense consciousness and we rise to our spirituality. The fourth I am statement is, I am the good shepherd. And this is found in John 10:11. Now, in a message I gave several weeks ago, I spoke about the good shepherd. So let me summarize again what this nature is in the I am-ness of us. When Jesus speaks of the good shepherd, he is saying we must control the great mass of thoughts in our conscious and subconscious, because like sheep, our thoughts need a shepherd to herd them. The superconscious or Christ mind is the true door or gate through which we must pass our thoughts. It is this Christ within us that knows every thought and loves and directs them as the shepherd loves sheep. John summed this up, and I just love this. He summed this I am teaching of Jesus magnificently in 1 John 4:4, when he said this, and my Bible scholars know it, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It is a powerful reminder of our spiritual strength. The fifth I am statement is found in John 11:25. Here Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now for me, this is the most powerful of the I am statements. And why I say this? Because in offering the teaching about our name, our nature, Jesus set the ultimate example. His victory over a physical death and resurrection brings hope. In our humanness, we may struggle through life's challenges, going through the dark night of the soul. However, Jesus showed us that we can rise above whatever the situation is before us and transform even our darkest moments in life. In those tough times, our focus must be on our eternal life. So we affirm, this too shall pass. Jesus's sixth I am statement is, I am the way, the truth, and the life, which is found in John 14:6. Way represents direction, truth signifies revelation, and life denotes spiritual vitality. Beloved ones, the I am statement is our nature to go within and seek truth authentically and align our life choices and actions with what has been revealed to us. Again, this activity is done through prayer and meditation. So when you get that answer, the idea is not that you're arguing with it, because you've gone within and asked. So if it tells you to go one more block and turn right, why are you turning left at the light that you're holding at? And that's just a simple example. And you know I tend to toss around the idea of prayer and meditation, assuming that everybody knows, okay, I know what it is, how to do it, what it really means. Let me share how the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary defines the activity of prayer. Prayer is the communion between us and God. In true prayer, we take with us words of truth, a statement of truth, or an affirmation, and turn our attention within to the very center of our being, where God dwells. We affirm these words of truth and meditate on them. Then get very still and wait in the silence for God to make them real to us. Many times we rush off, wait, and the answer is revealed. Meditation is defined as a steady, get that, steady effort to know God through continuous and contemplative thought. So, beloved ones, I want to emphasize here that while the way, truth, and life are indeed our nature, we must be sincere and committed to our spiritual practice. Did you hear that? Sincere and committed to our spiritual practice. And why is this? Because we still have to deal with our ego on a daily basis. When the ego attaches itself solely to sense consciousness, it gives rise to the adverse ego. This adverse ego keeps us bound to materiality rather than spiritual growth. So we struggle with things like selfishness, greed, and fear. That is why a committed spiritual practice such as prayer and meditation are important. These practices help us to undo inner knots and contractions caused by the adverse ego and relaxes our inner selves so that we can rise to our spiritual maturity. And finally, the last but certainly not least, seventh I Am statement, which is found in John 15:1, I am the true vine. The vine symbolizes nourishment, growth, and unity. Again, this is another way of confirming that we must stay connected to God. When we feel disconnected or spiritually dry, our relationship with God is nurtured through prayer, meditation, and connection with our spiritual community. How about that? Connecting with others, like-minded people. Remember, discernment is a process, and it deepens as you grow in your relationship with God. You have to trust in your own inner authority, your own inner fire, and your own inner sense of divine sovereignty. Without this trust, it's too easy to give away our power to limiting beliefs. And trusting your divine nature does not mean being an egomaniac or denying all guidance. It means honoring the I am of you. Your name, your nature. Like the old unity saying, go to God first and then to man as God directs. Awakening to our true name or nature is a simple process. You've probably also heard, it's simple, but not easy. And it isn't always easy because the mind tends to believe that everything must be a tricky game. According to spiritual teacher Unmani, the games that the mind plays gives us the illusion that it's achieving something special while preoccupying itself. However, at the heart of our spiritual growth, we must hold on to the truth and not allow the tricks of the mind to distract us. We want to reunite with that which we truly are, our name, our I am, our true nature, always and forever within us. And now I'd like to close with this wonderful poem that I found that really sums up the message today, and it's by Helen Malicote, and it's called My Name is I Am. I was regretting the past and fearing the future. Suddenly, my Lord was speaking. My name is I Am. He paused. I waited. He continued. When you live in the past with its mistakes and regrets, it's hard. I am not there. My name is not I was. when you live in the future with its problems and fears, it is hard. I am not there. My name is not, I will be. When you live in this moment, it is not hard. I am there. My name is, I am. Blessings. Thank you, thank you. All right.